Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. And let's switch gears to college football as Georgia takes the practice field. Not quite in defense of its national championship, but working that way. Look forward to talking to Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Connor, great to have you with us. It seems like with all the basketball talk, we have not forgotten football. So update us on what's happening in Athens.
Yeah, one, thanks for having me on, Paul. It's always a pleasure. Two, Georgia is making its way through spring practice and Kirby Smart in true Nick Saban form. You know, making it clear that this isn't going to be a title defense, quote unquote, there. This is a new team. They are looking for new leaders. Kirby Smart has really, I think, stressed or raised concern about maybe the lack of clear leadership. They lost a lot of guys, obviously, from last year's team, 14 guys at the NFL Combine. That's bound to happen. And five practices in, obviously, you know, Georgia's not exactly going to be at the same championship level they ended last season. So they're working through this. They're trying to really figure out who they are and who those leaders are going to be when they take the field on September 3rd against Oregon.
And it's hard to feel sorry for Georgia. They've had so many great recruiting classes, but we were talking, I believe it was yesterday, to Lewis Riddick about the draft. And no matter what you have behind that large number of Georgia defensive players, it's hard to imagine them being in the same league, though, is it?
Yeah, I think even, you know, an example I wrote about this week, Michael Williams, you know, depending on which recruiting service you look at, a top five player in this incoming cycle, a defensive end, a guy who's going to be a very good player for Georgia, but, you know, he's only a freshman. You look out there and you see him physically, and he is not Trayvon Walker in the slightest. And Kirby Smart, I think, did a really good job this week of cautioning against that, of cautioning against making comparisons to guys based on where they were ranked as recruiting prospects, because obviously this team is still loaded with those guys. But what Jordan Davis, what N'Kobe Dean brought to the table, I think goes beyond even where they ranked as recruits and prospects. And some of that is just so difficult. There aren't 6'6", 350 linemen just roaming the earth that you can find in Jordan Davis that can move like him. Sure, there are half a dozen, you know, 5'11", 200-pound linebackers like N'Kobe Dean, but very few of them can process the game the same way he does. And so there was so much, I think, uniqueness with this 2021 Georgia defense. It's why it was probably the best defense since that 2011 Alabama defense. That while Georgia's defense is still going to, I think, be very good next season, it's not an automatic guarantee that we see that same level of caliber defense from this 2022 unit.
Connor Riley with us from Dog Nation. Connor, I don't know why, just when it should be absolute, I keep asking the same question to you whenever we talk about the Georgia quarterback room. We have the defending national championship quarterback. It seems like he should have ended any doubt about his talent and prowess. But Stetson Bennett, I just sense, is going to have to answer those questions again. What's the situation?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. We talked to Stetson this week. He acknowledged that he had conversations with Kirby Smart, you know, in terms of discussing whether he was going to come back or not and what was sort of going to be asked and expected of him. Heard some things he liked, said he heard some things he didn't necessarily like. And so I do think that, yes, come September 3rd, Stetson Bennett's going to be your starting quarterback against Oregon. But he's going to need to continue to play well. And quite frankly, with talking about what we just saw on Georgia's defense and what they're going to lose, he's going to need to be better than he was a season ago. And there's not going to be a Zamir White and a James Cook coming back this season. Stetson Bennett is going to need to make strides to get better this coming year because there's talent behind him regardless of whether or not we even get into the Arch Manning thing, say, a year from now. But with Brock Vandegrift, with Carson Beck, with Gunnar Stockton on the roster, there's talent there in that quarterback room. And so Stetson Bennett is going to have to do what he did last season, make improvements, get better as a pocket passer, improve and cut down on his turnovers. Kirby Smart used the word boneheaded plays this week, and I think that's very telling, especially you can even look at that national title game. Yes, Stetson was big late in that game, you know, completing his last, I think, four passes, two of those touchdown passes. But he also had a pretty costly turnover there in that same fourth quarter. And so if he's able to eliminate those turnovers, I do think that's going to go a long way in ensuring that he remains the starting quarterback for Georgia.
If he for some reason stumbles, who this year is most likely to move up?
I think spring practice is really going to determine a lot of that. You know, Carson Beck and Brock Vandegrift are sort of the two names I would monitor there. I think Vandegrift has the higher upside. I know he is the better athlete. Beck has a little bit more experience in the system. But the reality is those guys are two really close in terms of competition and where they are. And how I think these spring practices shake out is going to go a long way in determining who wins that backup job and then thus spinning it into fall camp. I think who ends up pushing Stetson Bennett, and I will say this about Brock Vandegrift, you know, with his athleticism and his ability and the fact that we know for a fact Stetson Bennett, this will be his final year at Georgia, it wouldn't surprise me to see maybe Georgia go out and try and get some extra reps for a guy like Brock Vandegrift, get him some reps at that high level. We saw them do that last year with Stetson Bennett, even when JT Daniels was healthy. And so I do think you're in a situation come this fall, we've seen with Todd Monken and Kirby Smart before, where they might be willing to give that backup some reps during a competitive game, one, to get him some reps, but two, to sort of see what he can do and what sort of elements that quarterback can add to the offense.
Finally, the schedule. It starts off difficult. There's a tricky game near the end. I know a lot of Georgia fans shrug their shoulders, but Oregon is a really good team. At South Carolina, week three. At Missouri a little bit later on. Obviously the cocktail party. Tennessee later in the year. And then this is really interesting. Two road games in November. At Mississippi State, at Kentucky. How would you assess the schedule?
Yeah, I think it is not necessarily the toughest schedule in the world, and I think Georgia's obviously going to be favored in every one of these games. But, you know, that four-game stretch, starting with Florida and stretching to Kentucky, that's going to be four really tough games to win in a row at the end of the season where you want to be playing your best. Obviously, Florida, it's an emotional rivalry game. I think Tennessee, I think a lot of people are interested in seeing how they step forward. But then at Mississippi State on November 12th and at Kentucky on the 19th, those are two teams that, at least defensively, they're going to play physical football and they're going to want to knock you around. And late in the season, you know, those are tricky places to play. And I do think that if this Georgia team does not take the steps forward that we see during the course of the season, it does set up for a tough finish. And obviously, you know, ending with Georgia Tech, that's a cupcake game for Georgia. But I really think that stretch from Florida to Mississippi State is where Florida to Kentucky, rather, is where we're going to learn the most about this Georgia team and what they are. Because I do think they're going to win the SEC East again. They'll probably be an underdog to Bama in the SEC championship game. But if they take care of business in that four-game stretch and look like the team that we saw at times this past season, I think that's going to bode well for a potential, you know, national championship rematch and obviously an SEC championship rematch in Atlanta on, I guess, December 4th would be this year's SEC championship.
Connor, always great to have you on. Be well. We'll talk to you soon as Georgia continues with spring drills. We'll take a look at some other schools as we flip the switch to next week. More on the Arkansas Razorbacks with Bobby Bones at the end of the half hour and your phone calls next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. And Billy is up next in Philly. Hey, Billy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. I'm a good show. I wanted to call about basketball. A week ago, I called and asked you about, you know, the SEC style of play, which is very physical, and the so-called Big East style, which is a little more thoughtful. And we've had a chance to see both teams and leagues perform. And I was curious. I mean, I have an opinion. I'm curious just to know what you learned and thought about the two conferences and from the tournament play we've seen so far.
I think the SEC is obviously struggling, and you know, whether it's that or other matchups, I'm not sure. But because I think it's always hard to classify a league. One thing I heard about last night is that, well, Arkansas plays a much tougher league than Gonzaga. But how does that apply when you look at the other five SEC schools?
Yeah, I don't understand Tennessee. I did not see the Michigan game. I don't know why they're out. I gather you're not that high on the Tennessee coach. I just don't have any comment on that.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent basketball coach, but you cannot run away from his March record. And, yeah, I know he had the Kevin Durant situation and then the Final Four, I think, which came after that or before that. I can't remember which one it was. But you know, I'll just look at the two situations, the last three NCAA tournaments at Tennessee, where he is woefully underperformed.
I guarantee you, you know, I know it's 10 minutes from Villanova. I guarantee you that Villanova would much rather have played Michigan than Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
It seems to me there are three or four teams that have really distinguished themselves, and they distinguished themselves by their coaching. You have to include St. Peter's, although I think their Dame is near the end.
I agree.
But, I mean, Jay Wright is one of the best coaches ever.
Absolutely.
I think the Arkansas coach is fabulous, and I think the Houston coach is fabulous.
You're right.
I think the old managing the McDonald All-Stars, which is unfortunately what Kentucky has been doing, doesn't work. Calipari was badly, badly out-coached. I mean, even Charles Barkley pointed that out on television. I think coaching has changed. You need to stay a while. You need to build a program just like you guys do. You know, the SEC does in football. I think just, you know, super aggressive, super athleticism is not enough. And getting McDonald All-Americans isn't enough. I mean, I can't remember when Villanova last had a McDonald All-American.
Billy, you tell me, it just seems to me that these super teams, and we saw it at Duke a couple of years ago, when they had Zion, when the game gets into a pressurized situation, and I don't care how great you are and you know whether you're going to be the number one pick or in the lottery, the pressure overwhelms you. And I think that's when you need a cohesive unit to be able to pick up.
I think you're very right about that. That's what coaching's about. I think one thing that everybody should know by now, Gonzaga is overrated.
Yeah.
A lot. They're overrated because they don't. I think the SEC is a great conference, and I think they should have great teams. And I think that the Big East is underrated because they have no money and they don't, you know, it's a small schools and all that. But they do pretty darn well in big tournaments, better than they should because of the coaching. I mean, I don't see why the SEC should stay behind for long. That's all. And I think the guy at Arkansas
SEC is behind, but there's a lot riding. Thanks for the call. There's a lot riding on Arkansas tomorrow night for the SEC because should they lose, it's another critical loss to an ACC school, which is really their rival. The Big Ten's their football rival. The ACC is their basketball rival. Let's check in with Augie, who has no rivals.
No rivals, Paul. Boy, Billy Philly, he's right. We need to change the name to Gonzchoka. Paul, it's not kosher, but you got to eat a lot of pig. You were definitely down on the hogs. And as I was watching that game, I thought, man, Paul's going to catch hell today.
Well, you know, I thought I was being I thought I was doing something that's rarely done here, and that's given an honest opinion. Just so happened that honest opinion was dead wrong, but it was an honest opinion.
Yeah. And I was with you. I didn't think the Hogs would pull it out. But what about now? Do you think they're going to?
No, I will. I'm on the Hog train.
Okay, good for
you. And you know the problem. You know why I did that yesterday, Augie? Because what drives me crazy, and I won't mention anybody's name, but when you ask an analyst for this network or any network, in one of those games when you're the only SEC team remaining, well, who do you like? Well, it's such a hard game to predict. You know, Arkansas is so tough. And here's the favorite line that you're going – I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas wins the game.
Exactly. But you
Which
took
means
a stand and
nothing.
I didn't think
– So I took a chance. I bet the house. And now I'm living outside today.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga now is falling into that Buffalo Bills category, right? They're like a Buffalo Bills of
But I'm doubling down. I'm betting my house and your house on Arkansas tomorrow night.
Hey, I'm with you. And poor Hugh, he was almost celebrating, but then Krzyzewski pulled it out. So sorry for Hugh and Deep Gap, because I know he really hates Krzyzewski. But, Paul, we had Matt on. And you grilled Matt, but he did not give us how we could find his podcast.
No. And you know why, Augie?
I don't know why.
I don't think there is a podcast.
Well, it's funny because you asked him what it's about, and he said, quote, it's about the NIT, but I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah.
So
that's a good sell,
that,
by
Paul?
The way. I want to make sure Matt, as he gets a little bit older and does job interviews, I don't want him to go into a job interview in this area. You're interviewing for the chief sales position in Broward County. Oh, Broward, I wasn't sure. Where is that? I don't know anything about that
county.
Well,
it could have been worse. He could have said, which sales?
Yeah. What's the name of your – you said this is Apple or Orange Incorporated?
We call Miss Faye.
Miss Faye. Oh,
I
yeah.
I think you were right when you said she was Jim's squeeze, because she gets very upset when people upset Jim. I mean, very upset. And then when you asked her, she said – you didn't ask her, but she said, I'm voting for Squirrel. Now, I know literacy tests went out the door years ago, but that's an example of, don't we need some kind of voter awareness test before you cast a vote? You have to know who's actually running in the election.
Yeah, I hope Jim's not listening right now, but I was fairly underwhelmed by the Faye call.
But speaking of Jim, he admitted that he hadn't had good calls lately, but he said, I'm still the best. So how can that be? And he impugned the integrity of the election and the honor of the election officials. So I don't know if you took umbrage to that.
Yeah, I would say, Augie, of the 15 or 16 matches that we've had, I don't think more than two or three have been rigged.
And that's not bad. For Louisiana, that's considered fair elections. But
all the contests have been regulated by the Georgia State Board of Electors, and that there's been no malfeasance.
I think we need to give Georgia a rest. They've been under a lot of stress lately. But, Paul, what do you think when one guy from Alabama calls another guy from Alabama an ignorant redneck?
I feel like I'm back home.
And isn't it quite stunning that all of a sudden Jim is all over Squirrel as the best caller? And I think Squirrel's a great caller. But it wasn't that long ago where Squirrel was on the show talking about how Jim was a stalker. Jim calls him. He annoys him in the middle of the night. I guess Squirrel is sort of like not Squirrel, but Jim has not lost that
You know,
urge,
Augie, I don't know if this irritates you as much as it does me, but I hate mortal enemies saying nice things about each other.
Well, you know it's just going to break apart as time comes. But my question for you, Paul, that lady from Maryland who was a Georgia fan, and she was calling, complaining about people calling each other idiots, and she said this is a sports show. And
oh, yeah, Barbara, Maryland, whatever her name was. Yeah, Maryland.
Yes. And you apologized and you agreed. How did you do that with a straight face?
Augie, I don't know if I didn't know if you knew this or not, but I'm taking a Shakespearean drama class at night.
Well, you're very good. And the other thing is, you're always in that third ring when Jim calls, and he does not realize it. When is he going to ever wake up?
Augie, you be well. Take care. We have a lot to do. We will continue following the Razorbacks in San Francisco. We'll talk to maybe the biggest Razorback fan in the world, Bobby Bones. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know something good is happening in Fayetteville when we welcome to the program Mr. Bobby Bones, the absolute giant of country music. And, of course, you've seen him on a million shows from American Idol. He won Dancing with the Stars. He has his own show on Disney Plus, Breaking Bobby Jones. And this is his bracket. He's the only person in America left with a perfect bracket. He's only picked Arkansas. Bobby, it's been a long time. How are you?
Hey, Paul, I am really good, and I know that when you invite me on the show, it's because something really good is happening with Arkansas, so I could not be more excited to be talking to you today.
Well, we even though we dabble in country music, we had Kenny Chesney on a couple of months ago when he was doing a documentary, and others filter in. We leave that space to you because you are the king of Nashville, but we do like talking to you about the Razorbacks, and it's hard to find a better day to talk hogball than today. So just take us through your evening last night watching them slay the Giants of Seattle.
I think we were all just tired of hearing how bad Gonzaga was going to beat us, and it wasn't even about us. But when people would talk about the game and Gonzaga, either we wouldn't get mentioned at all or the game wouldn't get mentioned at all because it was already over before it started. And, you know, with me and other Arkansas fans, I think at this point, we feel like we can win any game. Our culture as Razorback fans in football and basketball, because of Eric Musselman, because of Sam Pittman, it has changed where we now feel like we have a shot at any time. We didn't always feel this way. For most of my life, I knew if it was close, we were going to lose. That's just how we are as Arkansas, people from Arkansas. But now it is all shifted where going into the game last night, I knew it was a 9.5-point spread. I knew that everyone had kind of written us off. But I also know now that I don't doubt Coach Musselman for any reason. So it's very exciting. Listen, we've been here before. Last year, we were in the Elite Eight. But we didn't take down the number one team in the tournament. And this one feels just a little bit.
It does, Bobby, and I think – I know SEC fans like to gravitate to the winner, but I don't think very many people, maybe some of your brethren did, that would have again for the second year in a row the Razorbacks holding up the SEC banner, especially after what seemed like a spectacular year in the conference.
I think a lot of us were surprised that Kentucky went out in the first round. I mean, I was shocked. I thought Kentucky would win the whole thing if Arkansas didn't. Auburn getting bounced, and those are two programs, because I root for everyone in the SEC, but it got a bit contentious near the end of the season. And listen, I know a lot of Kentucky fans, a lot of Auburn fans are listening to me right now. Love them as individual people, hate their fan bases. They are the most entitled. Kentucky actually deserves to have their entitlement. Auburn fans, you guys are out of your mind. You don't need to be talking about how good you are at basketball. You had a couple good years. Individually, I love you. All together, I'll pass on you as a fan base. So I was kind of happy to see Auburn lose.
Bobby, it's funny. About 8 weeks ago when Brian Harsin was within a hiccup of getting fired as the Auburn football coach after 1 year, the fan base was calling in saying, you know what, that's too bad, but we're bad. We're number one in basketball right now. We don't really care. They weren't saying that exactly, but that was the impression. So it's interesting that you drew that conclusion.
To me, you need some sustainable success. By the way, Auburn was awesome. They were a fantastic basketball team, and it stinks that they were run so early as an SEC member. But, I mean, between Kentucky and Auburn beating me up all year long, and I guess I'm like the tackling dummy that when you want to come after Arkansas, you come after me. I'm an easy target, I guess. Those fan bases were killing me. So I get to take it out on Matt Jones. He's Kentucky Sports Radio. I let him have it. But this is the only time I've been able to vent about Auburn fans. And now I feel good. I'm done. So, Paul, I appreciate that.
I'm glad to hear. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned Matt Jones, because I've been wondering for the last 8 days if he's alive. And, I want proof of life on Matt. I really do.
Well, barely. I performed at the Opry a couple nights ago, and I brought him with me. He's on his I'm Sad tour, where he is very sad, and so he's just traveling around being sad. That's the worst tour to be on. But he's on it, and Matt Jones, Kentucky fans, shout out. But it's all pig right now.
Hey, by the way, when you do the Opry, what I know you've got a comedy tour that goes coast to coast, but when you do something like that, I mean the hallowed halls of the Grand Ole Opry, what type of program do you put on?
I did 15 minutes of stand up. You know, the great thing about the Opry is if you go, I'm going to sound like I'm on the tourism board now, but if you go to the Grand Ole Opry, you see a lot of different acts. So you'll go for 90 minutes or 2 hours, but you're going to see like 13 acts. And even the big acts, you get about 15 minutes. And so I did about 15 minutes of stand-up. The Opry's really brought back a lot of stand-up comedy, which is great because I'm not touring right now. So I go and I do material there and hopefully get a few laughs. And that's a tough crowd, though, because at the Opry, you have people that are 90 and people that are 9. And so it's hard to tell jokes that everyone thinks is funny to that crowd. But if you can, man, it feels great. And it's just the greatest place in country music to be.
I would like to talk to you about comedy because, especially now when there's so many things going on in the world. I was reading about the Oscars Sunday night because I don't think I really want to watch it. But, the comedians, the hosts are told to be very careful because there's certain places you don't want to go. It seems like Vladimir Putin would be a natural object. But considering the human suffering that's going on, it may not be that funny.
Well, for me, I'm known for having big opinions, and I still have them. However, if you would, picture when Notre Dame walks out of the locker room, and they all walk out and they hit the sign that says, play like a champion today. When I walk out of my house every single morning before I go to the Bobby Bones show, I slap my sign that says, don't get canceled today. That's my only goal every single day, is to keep my job, because everybody's trying to cancel everybody now. It's crazy.
No, you're right. Well, speaking of being canceled, the Razorbacks would like to cancel Mike Krzyzewski's career tomorrow night. Give us your thoughts on what's going to happen.
Oh, man, I hate Duke. Like, Gonzaga, I got annoyed because everyone made Gonzaga the bad guy. Gonzaga never did anything to me. Actually, probably really nice people. I said all their fans look like they had second homes and they liked the snow ski. And so they were insulted by that, but I thought it was a pretty good – if someone were insulting me with that, I'd like that. Duke, everybody just hates them. Unless you're Duke – you hate Duke. And so to end Coach K's career, first of all, respect. But second of all, it'd be amazing. Here's what I worry about, though. If you don't think that the network wants Coach K to make it to the finals and win the championship, and that wouldn't be the greatest rating ever, then you're nuts. So I worry in my little mind that does all this conspiracy theory thinking that, of course, the refs are having a little meeting. We got to keep Coach K in the game. All that being said, I trust Muss. He's got us here before. He is a coach that is always planning far ahead. And you know how they defensively address Timmy and Chet. I feel like they're going to have to do that with Paolo, obviously. But Duke is a great team. I would love to just go and beat them up and win. But, I will be here pacing back and forth, driving my wife crazy tomorrow night.
So finally, Bobby, and I asked you this once about watching Arkansas football when you can't get out there, but start to finish, what's it like to be in your house watching you watch the Razorbacks, especially a game as important as tomorrow night?
I'm alone. I have to be alone. My wife asked me a couple hours ago if we wanted to invite some friends over to watch the game. And one of my dear friends is Ben Rector, who's a big big musical artist, and he lives here, and we talk about the Hogs a lot, and we travel. We just travel to watch us play Tennessee. And I was like, I can't. I need to be alone because I'm going to be a psychopath. And so I keep little, like, 12-pound weights near the TV, and during commercial breaks, I just do curls and try to kill some of this nervous energy because I feel like I'm playing the game. Like, I don't have athletic ability to do so, and I'm tired. And after the game finished last night, you know, I was celebrating, and I thought to myself, I need to stop celebrating. I need to focus on the next game. And then I remembered, I don't play a next game, so I'm still celebrating, and I'll be ready to go.
I mean, you do a rather early radio show. How tough is it after now that game last night was not a late game, thank goodness. But I mean, it's not like you can just, you know, flip the TV off and go to sleep. I mean, how tough is it to turn it around?
There are two things that are difficult, especially about a game like last night. Number one is that I have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning because we go on at 5. So even if there is no game, it's difficult to go to bed and wake up at that time and be normal. When a game like that is happening and your whole season's on it and you win and it's one of the, you know, the biggest win of the year, your adrenaline's pumping so hard. So I knew I wouldn't sleep. So I got on. We have a Madden football league. I got on with my buddy Steve. He cheats at Madden, but I beat him last night as well. It was amazing. It was, we beat Gonzaga. I beat my buddy Steve in Madden. I went to bed about 1:30, got up about 3:30, not even sure I fell asleep. And then I'm just running on fumes right now, but it's adrenaline fumes, so it's been great.
Well, thank goodness we found you. Thanks for making time, Bobby. It's always great to hear your voice and hopefully to see you soon. You be well.
Yeah, you too, Paul. Big fan. See you.
Bobby Bones, he is not only a great Razorback fan. I've been at a major country music event a couple of years ago in Nashville. I mean, everyone was there. Everybody. And Bobby Bones is literally the mayor of Nashville when it comes to country music. He's that influential and important. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We are back. Legend will join us momentarily before the final polls close. Before we go to Legend, let's check in with Larry in Shelby.
What's up, Paul?
Larry.
Hey, man, it's all good. Y'all got the final two, but I'll say this. When Legend said he could handle me, let me tell you, I've heard that duck bark water before. He messed with me. I put that attitude of Justin on that ass, and he'd be kissing the asphalt. He won't be kissing no damn ring. And he stole my Ric Flair. Woo! I know that. But he ain't nothing, man. He ain't that. He's a self-centered. When I met him at the luncheon, he was arrogant, self-centered. And we all had that thing for the children's hospital. Only one that showed up was I-Man and Rich and Phyllis and me. None of them clowns showed up to help Chilling Hospital because they're self-centered. And I-Man get a good call when he smokes some good dope. When he don't, he ain't got such a good call. And when Jim, the doctor, gets his medicine right, he's a good caller. The Legend ain't nothing to him. The same old giggling like a little girl. And then he calling names out just like a 5-year-old. But what? I'm sitting here, what? I ain't never heard nothing like that. That's caller of the year? Give me a break. So no, Legend, you can't handle this one.
Thank you, Larry. Legend is next.
Woo! I'm the real Ric Flair, bitch. You better shut up or I take them handcuffs off of you and put that billy stick on your ass. That's what you better do. Shut that pacemaker on. Beep, 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 beep.
Man, legend. Hey, no, I mean, no matter. Hey, I mean, they're coming after you from all ends.
Man, the love today is just overwhelming, Paul. I got something to say to them callers, but first, I'd just like to say something about basketball for a second. Man, man, you was wrong about Gonzaga, weren't we, brother?
Yes, sir.
Man, I have to say this, Paul, about Arkansas. I've been an Arkansas fan for a long time. Auburn's a wannabe basketball school. Arkansas is a basketball school. I go all the way back to the Cindy Moncrief days, baby. I mean, that is a good friggin' basketball team that plays D. I'm pulling for you, Hogs. Go Hog Wild! And now for Kentucky. Kentucky! I used to call you the Alabama football basketball. But I'm stripping that damn title from you. You ain't the Alabama football basketball no more, baby. Why don't y'all run that dadgum suit-wearing Yankee off of that campus? There's no way Alabama would let a coach win one championship in 10-something years. He's all mouth. He's all hype. He's the most overrated coach in the country. Run his ass off and get you a real coach, Kentucky, and get back to where you belong. Now for these callers, Paul. You know, I heard Jim come on here talking all that stuff. Man, there's never been a more stupid person than him. I mean, I'm not saying he's completely stupid, Paul. He just has bad luck when it comes to thinking. I mean, I'm not a cactus expert, but there's never been a bigger prick than you, Jim. There's never been a bigger prick than you, dude. And if you just don't know it, I just dunked on you so hard, your head smells like my crotch. Now for I-Man. I-Man, I was just listening to one of your favorite Doobie Brothers songs. That Alabama Kush is something else. Man, that Doobie Brothers song is off the hook, dude. You are high if you think all I got is a laugh. I'm bringing Ric Flair to this show, baby. Woo! And y'all are going to kiss the rings at the end of the day. I'm going to put it back in power with Alabama on top the way it belongs. And listen, I-Man, someday you're going to go far, dude. And if we're hopefully, and if we're happy, your ass will stay there. Love you, Paul. Legend up.
Pat is up next in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. I just don't really know what to say now, but I was going to say to Bobby Bones, I'm an Auburn fan, and I'm a good Auburn fan. I'm not one of those obnoxious ones. But I wanted to ask a question, and then I was just going to hang up and see if, I don't know, you may not be able to answer it, but, you know, we all have to seem to worry about Jim's fragile feelings, and nobody else's. And I don't know why we don't worry about everyone's feelings equally. So I'll hang up if you want to answer that for me.
John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for having me on your show again, as always.
Thank you.
Yes, disappointing the way our Vols boys left the tournament. But with your tournament on your show, I have to say I got to go with I-Man. You know, as someone who my father played quarterback at Auburn, there's just no way in good faith I can vote for a Bammer. Even though Legend's a great caller, I got to go with I-Man. And then really what I wanted to call and talk to you about, Paul, was the Lady Vols playing Louisville tomorrow. And did you see that brawl Monday night with Belmont?
I did, yeah.
No, that was amazing. So what I had a request, actually. Tamari Key broke Candace Parker's record for blocks all time. And anytime you get into that territory, you are in very, very rare air. So I was just making a request at some time. Maybe you could have her on the show, because girls.
That's a good idea.
Maybe don't always get.
Hey, by the way, John, when did your father play at Auburn?
1979, John Crane. Sometimes when I talk to people about it, I mean, I didn't go back and look at the stats, but they're like, "Oh, we went like 3-7, we suck." But I don't really care.
I don't. I came there. I came right after that, but that was toward the end of the Doug Barfield there. But wasn't he on the team? Was he on the team with the great running backs?
Yes, Cribbs, Joe
and
Cribbs,
Brooks, and Andrews.
Well, I know Cribbs for sure because growing up, my dad talked about Joe Cribbs all the time. So, but I grew up during the Peyton Manning era, and I fell in love with Tennessee, as crazy as that sounds. So my dad played at Auburn. I fell in love with Tennessee, and that's actually why I called in, as a request. If you could
I'll check that out, John. So. Thank you very, very much. Interesting. Appreciate the call. Max is in Arkansas. Hey, Max.
Hey, this is Max. I just wanted to talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks basketball team for a second and how all the analysts gave us the biggest disrespect, saying that we're going to be a first-round loss no matter what. Every analyst counted us out against Vermont, but yet we're in the Elite Eight now. We just beat the number one team in the nation for the second time this season. And I want to say all the analysts said we have no offense, and that's because we have J.D. Notte shooting 29 shots and we have 10 offensive rebounds. So that means, Max, we only rebounded JT Notte's shot 10 times. And so that means that's not counting another 19 shots he missed and all the other players who missed. And that's where all of our offense goes. Thanks, you, Paul. I love you.
Thank you very much. You're right. I mean, there were some pretty prominent analysts who thought Vermont would get Arkansas in the first round. Good point. Thank you for the call. We've already talked. We've been to San Francisco talking to JB. We had Mr. Bobby Bones on talking about the Razorbacks. We'll talk a little bit about football with Booger McFarland in a minute, and plenty more about the Arkansas Razorbacks as we continue right here.